In the name of the living God who is creating a new heaven and a new earth.
Amen.
Amen. This past week, I was at dinner near UC campus, and one of the college students of Calvary started recalling a catastrophe that had happened. This was the night of the election. And we were wondering how it was going to unfold. And she said, you know, I remember a catastrophe in my own lifetime, and it was when I was in sixth grade, she says, and the shootings happened at Sandy Hook. She said, I remember exactly where I was and what I was doing. And I, like her, could relate to a visceral memory of where I was and what I was doing when there had been other life-altering historical events. How my friend Mandy came down the hall on September 11th, 2001 in our dormitory and told everyone on the hall, turn on your TVs, before we left for biology class. And the tower came tumbling down. On March 11th, 2020, when the World Health Organization declared a global pandemic, I made this abrupt tour with my three-year-old into Kroger out of sheer panic. Actually ran into Reed there, and he watched Amelia for a little bit while I ran back and got a bundle of toilet paper. And little did I know how precious that would be in the weeks to come. Some of you, similarly, you might remember where you were when JFK was assassinated, Martin Luther King Jr. Today, we hear in the scripture what's known as Luke's little apocalypse. Many interpret Jesus' words here as a foretelling of the end of the world. But scholars believe that the writing of the Gospel of Luke happened between the year 80 and 90, and that these words were Jesus' foretelling or prophecy of the destruction of the second temple. Anyone who heard Jesus' words in real time, not one stone will remain upon another. Well, they would have had memories passed down to them from 500 years earlier when the first temple had been destroyed. What a lot of people don't understand about apocalypse is that it's not actually the end of the world, but it's a revelation that opens our eyes to a new way to live the days that follow it. And here's what I think is a really hard truth about today's gospel lesson. God doesn't prevent terrible things from happening. I've known people to leave the church overhearing this truth, that God doesn't prevent terrible things from happening. And no, I don't understand it. But I do believe that God made manifest in the person of Jesus shows us that God is willing to be present in and among us as human beings when we're joyful and when we are in the utmost horror. That God is both all-powerful but reveals the greatest power in the irony of powerlessness. And not even the most astute of theologians have found answers to this problem. I don't know about you, but for me, on September 11th, 2001, I truly thought it might be the beginning of the end of the world. And in a lot of ways, it was. The world has not been the same since then. Just like it wasn't the same after the assassination of the leaders in the 1960s. And just like it wasn't the same after the Second Temple was destroyed in the year 70. We heard this wonderful vision of what was possible in 3rd Isaiah this morning. Depends on the translation. For I am about to create, I am creating a new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. Do you know what life was like as the prophet spoke those words? The Romans had destroyed the temple in 70, but this is way before then, when Isaiah is speaking. The first temple was Solomon's temple. And Solomon had built that temple in about 990 years before the Common Era. So for 400 years, there was this beautiful temple where the people of faith believed God actually resided. That temple took 185,000 workers to build. 1 Kings chapter 5 records the workers. 30,000 Israelites cutting and transporting timber. 80,000 stone cutters. 70,000 laborers. And 3,300 supervisors. Can you imagine what the Boy Scouts would build with that many after the Eagle Scout project? Compare that to those who returned to Jerusalem from the Babylonian exile after the destruction of that temple in the 6th century before the Common Era. The entire city of people who returned after that exile, guess how many people there were? 20,000. The entire city. And they didn't actually rebuild another temple for another 500 years. So here's another hard truth about God. We want answers in our own time. We want restoration to immediately follow the wreckage. But God has this way of playing the long game. And by long game, that means it's going to be well beyond our lifetimes. Just this past week, Provisional Bishop Wayne called the clergy to Proctor Center to explore what's going well and what's challenging right now in the Diocese of Southern Ohio. And it came up once more that we are facing steep decline. It's not just the Diocese of Southern Ohio, it's the entire Episcopal Church. In just 10 years, one person noted, attendance has declined by 25%. And not just one, but many reports have shown that, this is the quote on one of the articles I found of many, the death of the Episcopal Church is near. If there is a foretelling that the end is near, it is of our institutional church. The way the data looks, the stones may be left one upon another, but there may not be any people left as early as the year 2040. One thing that came up in our clergy listening session was a desire to elect a bishop that can acknowledge and tend to the reality that our current institutional infrastructure was built for 1959, not 2022. And it's in need of vast intervention or complete reimagining. So here's what life was like for the people after the Babylonian exile, according to blogger Stan Duncan. Well, there had been much rejoicing at the arrival of Cyrus the Great of Persia, the release from captivity, the return to Judah. Life on the ground was destitute, nearly hopeless. Not all who'd been held in captivity returned, and those who did not only saw a destroyed and decaying city, they also met with resistance from those who'd stayed behind and had not been taken to Babylon. And they simply did not have the capacity to rebuild the temple in their time. The wild part is this. Those who came after them did rebuild. They kept telling their story. They kept being faithful. They kept putting one foot in front of the other. And it took more than 500 years, but they rebuilt. And the wilder part is this, that after they rebuilt, it was not even 100 years later that the whole thing was reduced to rubble again. And still today, Jewish people and people of all faiths pray at the remaining outer wall of that temple. Throughout our history, there have been times when it seems the world is coming to an end. In times long past, in Jesus' time, and in our time. And still today, the words of the prophet Isaiah promise us what they promised the people of old, that things only look bad. In reality, a new Jerusalem is about to emerge. The old Jerusalem was bricks and mortar. The new one will be in our hearts. And this place is a utopia. It's a place where there will be no weeping, no crying, no fretting. A place where 100 will be considered young and babies will be born, not be born, stillborn. And mortal enemies in the animal world, wolf and lamb, lion and ox, they will live together in peace. A place like this sounds like a great hope, not just for the people of the church, but for the people of our nation, the people of our world. As Jesus says, seemingly referring to bricks and mortar, but actually referring to himself, in the second chapter of John, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." In worldly terms, calamities and decline and disintegration look hopeless. On God's terms, these are the precursor to a new creation. When we believe in Christ and make his temple, his church in our hearts, there's no calamity that can befall us from which we will not emerge. As Joy J. Moore said this week, quote, "All of these things Jesus taught us happened in the temple. In the temple that was destroyed. We keep right on going up until it happens. Then we keep right on going after it happens." End quote. This is our hope. Let's keep right on going. Amen.